Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you're taking your seat, turn to Galatians chapter 6 as we end the book of Galatians today. I pray that everyone had a great Jesus birthday. It's amazing to think that we're heading into 2019, because after 2019 comes 2020. Somehow, that just seems weird. Seems weird. 2020. For those that are visiting today, thank you for being with us. And we go through the New Testament on Sunday mornings, the Old Testament on Wednesday evenings, and we find ourselves, as you join us today, in the final chapter of the book of Galatians, and then we will just follow suit and go to the book of Ephesians. You know why we do that? Because that's the next book that comes along after Galatians. Just go word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, as we go through the Word of God. And we pray that that would be an encouragement to you in your personal life with the Lord. As we study the Word, I pray, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, it will be encouragement for you. That's how you approach the Word, that you handle all the doctrine that is found in the Scripture, every single issue that is there. That's why we hand out those things again that I showed you here a little while ago, going through the Bible in a year. Causes you to be in the Word of God, gives you an opportunity that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And so today we close out chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now, two Sundays ago, we spent the whole service on that as we looked into different principles about this. But as a reminder, he's speaking to us as we're going through this whole chapter. I believe that he speaks to us in a very specific way. And look at verse 9. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Has anybody ever lost heart here? Ever been discouraged? You know, think, okay, God, where are you in the midst of this? You know, I know that I have, and I think we all have. Paul closes out this book by emphasizing that which I believe is important for us to consider. Let us not grow weary while doing good. We are encouraged to continue to do good. In the song we sang there at the end, he is good. And as we reflect him in our lives, good is to come from our lives, in our lives, but through our lives to other people. So he says one way that we can do good, we find in verse 1, is if you see a person that's overtaken in a fault, they've fallen into a certain area of sin, they're having a struggle, the first thing that we have to recognize, don't destroy them. You know, he'll speak to that in chapter 6 too. We're to come alongside of them and love them and help them walk through the difficulty that they may have. In the Bible, it says a gentle tongue breaks the bone. So we come in a gentle way to speak to people. It's very important that we would do that. And so Paul here again, as a reminder, comes and says, if you find anyone that's overtaken in a trespass, you which who are spiritual, in other words, spiritually discerning. We have discernment, not judgment. We have discernment that is found in Matthew chapter 7. We become fruit inspectors, not in a judgmental sense, but also in a discerning. There's a world of difference. We look, and according to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, we judge the fruit. We discern the fruit of a person's life. We can tell that they have a need. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we may be used by the Holy Spirit to help a person. And then notice we're to do it in gentleness, and we're not to go and try to beat up a person. Or, you know, it's been said that Christians kill their wounded. No, we're never to do that. We're to come alongside. We are to speak the truth. We are to stand strong. We're never to compromise. But Paul says here, one way that we are not to grow weary in doing good is to be here with that person, come to them in gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we have to be very careful. Now, how else are we to walk in such a way and not to grow weary as we continue to do good? He says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's people here this morning in this service that are carrying burdens. And we may not be carrying a burden. And so our load may be light, today. And so that we can, because it is light, we can be in a position to help carry somebody else's burden because they're carrying some difficulties. They have some challenges that are in their lives, and that we are to be very sensitive to that. We're to bear with one another's burdens. Now, that may be faults that they have, as we see in chapter 1. It could be just the issues of life that they're going through. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." We're not to please ourselves. We can't get closed off. We can't get isolated. We're to go and help a person in any way we can. Bear one another's burdens, and we see so fulfilled the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? I believe James addressed that when he said this: if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he says you do well. So as we love other people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we look out beyond ourselves, we're not judgmental, but we can come alongside of a person and bear with them and love them in a special way. That's how we're not to grow weary in doing good. He goes on in verse 3 and continues to give us another example. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Be careful. Paul's saying we need to be careful there, that we don't think more highly of ourselves. I believe it was David that said he doesn't get himself involved in things that are beyond him. You know, we put it, it's beyond our pay grade. We have to be careful. You know, God equips us in certain ways. We have to recognize and go, you know, I don't know if I have that in my heart to help that person at this time. So I can't necessarily add to what they're going through. I walk with them, the ministry of presence. I want to be with them. But we have to be very wise. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul said this: not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from the Lord. Paul warned the Christian comparing himself that he shouldn't compare himself to fellow Christians. That would be the result of spiritual pride. And so we're not to compare. We're to come alongside. We'll help in any way we can. And let each one examine. Notice it says in verse 4, his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I remember one day a long time ago when I was just a brand new pastor, and coming there, I went to Mike McIntosh and said, you know, I know that contextually this means a certain thing, but in an application, the Lord ministered to my heart that it's important for me to examine my own work, what I'm doing in the Lord. And then as I do that, and I stand upon that, not what Mike McIntosh is doing or what somebody else is doing, but I come before the Lord and, Lord, what are you doing in my life? And then notice it says there, it says, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And so I just realized, okay, this is what you're doing in my life today, Lord. This is what you're doing. And I rejoice in that because you are the one that is doing that. And so let each one examine his own work. This involves careful, discerning self-examination in the light of how God views the believer. We come as David came there in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O God, and search my heart. Work deep within me." Doing this will keep a Christian from assuming or even boasting about himself without honestly recognizing the true condition of his own spiritual state. It's a dangerous thing when we begin to buy in that we're something that we're not. We can't do that, is what Paul's saying. He's just saying, if you want to not grow weary in well-doing, be careful to consider what's going on in your heart, not to think of yourself as more important than you are. That's easy to do that. One time I remember when I was a new chaplain, and there was a letter that came, and thank you for doing this and doing that. And I knew in my heart I didn't do anything. But I knew right then, I said to the lead chaplain, Mel Keaton, oh, now I got to be careful because of my pride. And I was serious. And he looked at me and he said, "Boy, you must have been awful before you knew the Lord." And I was just a prideful fool, you know. And one thing that God has done is taught me and instructed me here. How can I continue to do good and not grow weary in that? Be careful. Allow yourself to be examined by the work by the Holy Spirit. And then we'll have a rejoicing in ourselves alone and not in another. Be very, very careful that we do this. Paul said, "For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Isn't that what we want? The Lord to commend our work. You know, put the seal of approval on that. I look forward to that day, hopefully, to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." That's the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's the seal of Jesus in our lives. Anything other than that, you have to always be careful with it. When man comes and wants to lift up, it's a dangerous thing. I've seen celebrities through my years of knowing the Lord, they get lifted up, they give their hearts to the Lord, and all of a sudden they get lifted up, and then there's pride that develops in there. I don't know, but it appears that way, and before you know it, they're no longer a witness for Jesus Christ. There's a danger, Paul's saying. How do we not grow weary while doing good? Be careful, examine your own work. And notice verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. How do we not grow weary in doing good? Then we are to bear our own load, bear his own burden. We are to bear our burden as a cargo ship carries its cargo in that way. Everyone is responsible to God for what he is. That is our burden. We're responsible to God. Philippians chapter 2 says this, therefore, my beloved, as we have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You and I, we're not to work in such a way so we can become saved, but after we are saved, then we work out in the midst of our salvation, those things that God would have for you and I. James addressed that. Remember in chapter 2 of James? He says, faith without works is useless. Totally useless. In other words, he's not teaching that we have to do works to be saved, but in that we are saved, the fruit of our lives will be these works that the Holy Spirit does in and through our lives. And without them, what's the good of being a Christian? We're not different from anybody else in the world. That's what Paul is saying right here. Examine yourself, for each one shall bear his own load in that way. In verse 6, he said, let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, some people believe that what this is addressing is that you have a responsibility to make sure that a person who teaches the word of God has a living, a livelihood. And that's one of the reasons for the tithes and offerings. That can be because there's other scripture. For instance, 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. There's a responsibility that we have to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings, and it helps people be in the full-time ministry in that way. Contextually, I don't believe that's what's being addressed here. The people teach that, but I think contextually, this is what it means. Because of the context, the Christians should take part in all good things. That is the word that is taught. I think that's the meaning here, that as a teacher teaches the word of God, then you are to take part. All of us are to take part in the word that is being taught. Contextually, I feel more comfortable with that, but if you want to increase your tithe and offering, so whatever, you know, I'm just joking. It didn't go over very well, did it? You guys didn't laugh on that one, you know. So you search that one out. There's different things, but I love verse 7. Verse 7 is such an important verse. It says, but do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Star this one, put circles around this one. If you write in your Bible, highlight it, do whatever you want, memorize this one, because look at it again. Do not be deceived. There's a possibility, Paul's communicating, that we can be deceived. In what way? He says, God is not mocked. Okay, he adds to that. Don't be deceived. God's not to be mocked in any way. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, that makes sense. We know that that makes sense. But it's a powerful, powerful verse. God will render to each one according to his deeds. Truly, he will do that. Thus, we must be careful to always sow good seed in our marriages, in our children's lives, and in everything that we do. There's a principle of the multiplication. There's a principle of the planting of a seed. You plant one single seed, but the fruit that comes from that seed can be multiplied over and over and over. Put one kernel of a corn in the ground, and then all of a sudden you have an ear that have all these little kernels. That's the way it's supposed to be with us as Christians. We have this seed that we can plant in the ground into a person's life. You never know. Be careful what seed you plant. He goes on and look in verse 8. He says this, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Which one do we want to reap? everlasting life. And so the seeds that we plant have to be spiritual seeds. And we don't want to go to the flesh. But we do that at times. All of us do that. If we get angry, and our kids hear us angry in that way, yelling at our spouse or doing something that's inappropriate, we plant a seed that can grow in their hearts. As a Christian, we can plant good seeds and we can plant bad seeds. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Notice in verse 16, we've talked about this, but I want to review it today. Verse 16 of chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't sow to the flesh if you sow to the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if you sow to the flesh, look what happens in verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident. You have adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not a pretty picture, but we have a choice today, do we not? We can put on, take off the old man, but we must put on the new man. And when we put on the new man, we walk in that new man. Last night I got, or during the day, I got called to a vigil for a 21-year-old man that was killed in Lawrence this past week. So I went out there with other chaplains and police officers and all, and just standing there, and my heart just breaks. It just breaks. The fruit of gangs. You know, there's a young man. Life, only 21 years old, and the fruit of being involved in a gang, you know, right there, and do that. I think, sad, the seeds that were planted. I don't know that man, young man. I don't want to judge him, but I just know it appears that he was going down a path that's a dangerous path, and it ended up in fruit that wasn't good in his life, obviously. We want to plant good seed anytime we can. Amen? We should do that, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a wonderful thing to do that. And look, when we plant good seed, we know it, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That should be in our midst of our lives, love. You know, he goes on and he amplifies what love is. There's joy in love. There's peace in love. There's long-suffering in love. There's kindness in love. There's goodness in love. There's faithfulness in love. There's gentleness in love. There's self-control in love. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, if we sow to the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a principle that we cannot forget as we go out in the midst of our lives. Sow by the power of the Holy Spirit, those seeds of good flesh. I mean, not good flesh. good works. You know, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to tell you, I did. I woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and felt that I had a time with the Lord that was personal and very good. And but we want to sow to the Spirit, and then we shall reap of the Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing. It truly is. That potential is there for each and every one of us, because Paul's going to address how we do not grow weary in doing good in just a moment. So we see there in verse 9, he says, but let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Underline that, if we do not lose heart. Very important. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have seen things and I go, oh, Lord, where are you? You know, Lord, I prayed for years and years. I've sown good seed to this, and it just doesn't seem to be there. Well, God would say, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Keep going. Keep going. The walk of a Christian is not a walk of a few months or a few years, but it is a life commitment. There's things that happen immediately when we go, praise the Lord. That's true, isn't it? You know, it just happened. We prayed about it, and all of a sudden, the answer to the prayer was there. It happened. Other things, wow, Lord, how come you're not answering this one? It takes forever, and you feel like you just want to smack somebody, or you just want to give up, or whatever it is. We can never do that. That's what Paul's saying. We can't do that. He closes out this letter, and he's speaking to those in Galatia, the region of Galatia, all these things, and saying, you started. Remember, he said to him, you started. Who's bewitched you? You started so well. And then all of a sudden, you've gone the other way. You've gone back into the law. Excuse me. Put this burden upon yourselves and all that. He's saying, no. That's not the way to go forward in that way. We can't do that. That's why he says, don't grow weary in doing good. Stay where the grace of God is. Stay where the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is. Don't fall back into your old ways of doing things. Very important. The walk, as I said, of a Christian is not the walk of a few months or years, but it's a life commitment to slow down or even stop. Excuse me. Is never in order for a Christian. To slow down or even to stop is never in order for a Christian. You may not be seeing the fruit now. It may not be there now, but don't stop planting the good seed. Now, if you plant the bad seed, what kind of fruit are you going to have? Bad fruit. We have a choice. We really do. Keep going. Keep going. Keep planting the good seed no matter what happens. For in due season, you shall reap. The reward for perseverance will be there for sure. Look at verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, notice we're given opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I believe as we take care of those that are of the household of faith, we're being trained by the Holy Spirit to go out into the world's battle. We learn the lesson sometimes within our family, and then as we learn those lessons, we take it out into the world where there's a greater battle. There's people today that are controlled by the forces of evil, and that's hard. That's hard. You look at some of these things that are on the TV and all the other ways that, you know, it comes through, and that's hard. These things that are going on in the world. They're yielding themselves, not to the Spirit of God, but to the spirit of this world. Let us do good to all. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those who are of the household of God, the Christians. We reach out to them, and at training, we can affect others. Look at verses 11 through 13, please. See with what large letters, he's closing out the letters, so he's just personally writing by his own hand. I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire, verse 12, to make a good showing in the flesh, these will compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Paul's going back to what he's been teaching all the way through from verse 1 of chapter 1 of Galatians all the way through. There's those that just won't get it. They'll just try to make you fall underneath the law because they feel safer there. And the big reason is because they won't be persecuted. They won't be persecuted by others, and they won't have to die to self. That's why they want to continue in the wall, underneath the law, trying to do what only they feel they can do by their power, because they don't want to yield to the grace of God and the work that is found in Jesus Christ. That's all he's simply saying there, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Verse 13, for not even those, excuse me again, who are circumcised keep the law. Those that are even circumcised, they put themselves under the law. They don't even keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may, they'd want to put you under the law, that they may boast in your flesh. Look at that guy. He's doing this. Look at all the things that he's doing in his flesh, and he's, and I'm guiding him. I'm a teacher. I'm his instructor and all those things. I have to be careful is what he's saying there. It's a very dangerous thing. Here, Paul writes, takes to writing with his own hand to make a strong point. The reason is simple. They do not want to make a stand that will bring persecution upon themselves. They don't want to do that. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul lived this truth out. You've read it before, but look at the example that he has given to us here. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, those that would consume you. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation, those that would bring you back under the works of the law. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, he's not bragging bragging about himself. He's just saying, now, listen to what I've gone through. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law. I was a Pharisee concerning zeal. I persecuted the church concerning the righteousness which was in the law. I was blameless. But look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. This is what they did not want to do. They wouldn't yield to the way of the Spirit, and they tried to put other people under the law because they didn't want to yield to the Spirit like Paul did, the example he set to them. He goes on and for them, he says in verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Is that our hearts today, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. There's the end result. I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, this is what I do. He goes on and says, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind. I press forward for the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Always keeping his eyes. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Paul saying, this is how we walk forward. Keep planting those seeds. Don't plant the other seeds. Whatever seed you plant, that's what you're going to have. You're grumpy. Guess what seed you're going to plant? A grumpy seed, okay? Yeah. I don't know what they look like, you know. If you go to a seed store, stay away from them, you know, and all that. Whatever those seeds may be, find those good seeds. Plant those good seeds. Start with your spouse. Start with your children. Start with your family. Start with your community. Start at your workplace and continue and continue and continue. It's not easy, but Paul says by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be accomplished. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. We'll see how he encourages us as he goes on in verse 14. He says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. How do we continue? It's the cross. We must embrace the cross. Today, we are radical. Did you know that? Now, the word radical, immediately in our mind, we think of things in the world that are radical that aren't good. You know, they've destroyed the goodness of the word radical. We today, as Paul are new creations, as we're going to see in a moment. That's radical, is it not? We are in this world, no longer of this world, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as not only our Savior, but the Lord of our lives. Today, as we close out 2018, actually tomorrow, I encourage that we might get out of bed, whatever it is, get wherever we are, and get on our knees and say, Lord, is there anything that you would like to say to me concerning 2018? What seed I have planted? I want to see the good seed. I'd like to be encouraged by that, and I think the Lord might do that. But Lord, if there's any bad seed, might you bring that, not to condemn me, but to convict me, and that I can then take it to the cross with the Lord and say, oh, Lord, okay, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then if I'm to go and ask for forgiveness of anybody, I can do that, and then I can begin to plant good seed. Very important that we would do that. It's a wonderful thing. We are radical. We are radical people, and it's a very good thing. But we can, even as radical people, we can fall into a routine, and we must be careful. This statement I wrote down this morning, it can be a good routine, but it's still a routine and not radical. Be careful of the routine that we're in today, because it's a dangerous thing. It can be a good thing, but it also can be a bad habit. That's our routine that has captured us. Radical means relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something. It's far-reaching. It's thorough, very thorough. And it's something I believe that God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. And look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, being Jewish, fallen after the law, nor uncircumcision, being a gentle, a Gentile. Okay, I told you I got up at 3 o'clock, okay? I'm just catching up right now. I've been up since 3 o'clock. Okay, nor uncircumcised, that's a Gentile, not following after the law, avails anything. Paul says, it doesn't work. It doesn't work if you want to follow the law. You know, it just doesn't work. But notice what he says, but a new creation. Praise the Lord. Anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. God is good. He's the one that's done that. How do we not grow weary in doing good? We're new creations. New creations today. We've studied that. That's who we are. We're finishing 2018. As we go into 2019, Lord, may you use these new creations in ways that will blow our minds. It all started in John chapter 3, verse 7, when Jesus said, "Do not marvel, I say unto you, you must be born again." That's the message. That's the message that we have for the people of this world. It is a message that will destine them to heaven instead of hell. Last night, again, standing out there on Franklin Road, an apartment where this young man was killed behind the apartments, listening to his mom, the grief that was in her heart. I don't know this man. I don't know where he was. I don't know what was going on. Is he in heaven or is he in hell? Either one is eternal. And so we want to sow good seeds. Accepting the cross of Jesus Christ, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Paul's saying, get away from that. It's all handled by being a new creation in Christ. Therefore, in Romans 6:4, Paul said, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. I like that, don't you guys? Therefore, come on, you guys know this one. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a old things have. Behold, all things have become new. That's who we are. That's who we are. So to that if you put on the new man, which was created according to God, it's created in righteousness and holiness. Let's end the message. Verse 16, we see here, it says, and as many as walk according to this rule, that we are new creations, walk after the Spirit, not walking after the flesh, according to this rule. Notice the result. If we don't grow weary in doing good, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And from now on, let no one trouble me, Paul said, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He's just saying, I'm kind of tired of you guys in Galatia. You're attacking me. You need to understand that I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I have been put to death often. I have been beaten, persecuted, and all that. Paul could say those things. And he understood all of those things. He went through all of that. He made a stand. And these people that are boisterous and they're proud in themselves, they had gone more than likely through none of what Paul's gone through. So he's saying, don't speak to me about this. I know the cost of being a Christian. And you're not willing to pay it. And you're trying to take people along with you. And it's not a good thing. So he speaks against him in that way. Let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He closes his letter with an emphasis on the main topic of the book of Galatians, grace. Those who through the Spirit's work live in grace also enjoy spiritual peace. The finished work. That's what Paul's saying. Go to the finished work. Where do we see that? Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It's all taken care of. Great book, isn't it?
Yes.
We've learned a lot as we've gone through this book. It's been a wonderful, wonderful book. Don't put yourself under the law. Walk under the grace. Don't sow the seeds of the law, bondage. Sow the seeds of the grace of God. Let's stand together and let's pray. Lord, help us as we head into 2019 not to grow weary in doing good. Let us continue if even the world situation intensifies. Help us to be different lights into this world, the salt that brings flavor into the lives of others. We just want to say today we love you and we thank you for all that you have done in our lives in 2018. And we look forward to your return in the next year, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we sing, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you. You guys are amazing. You really are amazing. It's a privilege to be an under-shepherd to Jesus Christ. But you guys are amazing. I watch how you serve the children, how you do what you do, how you give unto the Lord. So I just want to take this time to thank you. Sincerely, I mean that. I can't go to each and everybody person, but now it's individual. I'm going individual to you. Thank you for your service to God. You guys are amazing people. Praise the Lord.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.